Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. There's an old story about George Washington. Perhaps you've heard it. When he was the general of the Continental Army, a pretty minor event happened, but one that demonstrates what Jesus teaches us in the parable of the wedding feast in Luke 14, 7 to 11, today's gospel text. General Washington was riding past a detail where a corporal was commanding his men to lift a log. Now, Washington had on a coat that covered the insignia of his rank, and upon seeing the men struggling to lift the log, he hopped down from his horse to help them. While the corporal was commanding them to lift, Washington put the strength of his tall frame to work and joined the men in pushing the log up and into place. As the men all relaxed, wiped the sweat from their brows, Washington turned to the corporal and asked him why he didn't help. The officer replied, "Sir, do you not see that I am a corporal?" George Washington humbly opened his coat and said, "Yes, sir, I see you're a corporal, but I wish that you would see I'm the general." In our error, we can think higher of ourselves than we ought to. It's called pride. And it says, "I'm special." It says, "I'm better than so-and-so. I deserve one of the places of honor, to be applauded and noticed for all my good deeds and how well I've done in this life, at just what I'm doing, how excellent I achieve my goal, that I get to do what I want. I get to choose for myself that which is mine, etc., etc." And in the gospel reading, the lawyers and Pharisees with whom Jesus is dining, by choosing to sit in the places of honor, reveal to Jesus that they're proud. They are proud men. They lack humility. So our Lord takes the opportunity to teach that when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, don't sit in the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited both of you will come to you and say to you, "Give your place to this person." And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. I think we call that having egg on our face. But when you're invited, Jesus says, go and sit in the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then, by doing so, you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus spoke this lesson to people who were supposed to know this principle already. He was teaching the lawyers and the Pharisees, who were learned men in Scripture. They knew the Old Testament. But apparently the instruction of Proverbs 25, 6, and 7, our Old Testament reading today, escaped them. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, "Come up higher," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. This biblical instruction informs our lives. Indeed, it informs our closed communion practice, doesn't it? We're used to this. We know this if we think about it. The host of the Lord's Supper is the Lord, Jesus. He's the noble king. And communion is the foretaste of the wedding feast to come that we're invited to. Therefore, we're honored when we acknowledge and confess our sin, our lowly place, and yet the one who invited us and everyone else to his celebration says to us, "Friend, come up higher. Move up." In our forgiveness, we are exalted. Indeed, we are moved from the lowest place to the head table, where the wedding party sits. The opposite is true too. Those who show up and just expect a place of honor, without consideration of where they are and in whose presence they are sitting, who don't repent of their sins and confess them before the Lord, they end up being shamed. When in pride they expect to move to the front with everyone else, to the communion rail, to the head table, and our king says to them, give your place to this person, because this is not for you and your pride. This is a place for the humble. It's humbling to be corrected, isn't it? Who likes to be corrected? Who likes to be corrected in public? But the one doing the correcting when those situations happen, he's not to blame. The teacher isn't to blame. He and his messengers, his people, they've done nothing wrong by offering a word of correction. In love, even. It's the proud person who exalts himself who stands in error. As Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Luke 14:11. But this goes well beyond communion, doesn't it? Humility and pride. These dispositions affect our whole lives. They've been sown through human history. We have tales upon tales of the fall of pride and the rise of the humble hero. The Christian is called to walk in humility before God. We heard that declared in our epistle reading, didn't we? Paul says, walk in humility. When I think of humility, I think of Psalm 84:10. That's what I think of when I hear of humility. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And that's a statement. A doorkeeper. You ever been going into a restaurant and you hold open the door for somebody and about 15 people go by before you actually get the door back? You know, right? I would rather be a doorkeeper who never gets to go into Applebee's than to live out there in the wickedness, in my own tent, where I don't have to hold open the door, someone else can. A doorkeeper. Yeah, I'd rather be the servant holding open the door for others so they can enter my master's house, so they can enjoy the benefits of sitting at the head table at the wedding feast, than to be living out on my own, according to my own terms, doing my own thing, because that's wickedness, because that's pride, because to do your own thing is to say you are your own God. You are autonomous to everyone else. You are independent, and therefore you are special. My way or the highway. Take it or leave it. We know these phrases, right? How many of you can say you'd rather be a doorkeeper for God than live on your own terms? That's a statement of someone who's humble before the Lord. Are you humble? Yeah, me neither. Too often I behave like the corporal in the story of George Washington. I think higher of myself than I ought. I forget who I am, a servant. I forget that God hopped down from his high place in heaven, and while I was struggling to lift the log of my sins, he came down and he bore the weight of my transgressions upon his shoulders in service to me and used his strength to ease my struggle, indeed, to end my struggle. My general had no problem lowering himself and subjecting himself to the whim and the will of others on my behalf. To die for me upon the log of Golgotha, Christ on the cross of Calvary, our general. We forget that he still is serving us without any complaint, coming to us every single time we gather in his name and serving us. Serving us with his word of truth, his graceful word of forgiveness. Serving us with the sacraments, his gifts of rebirth and baptism, and the food that strengthens us so that we can march on in this army we call the church militant. To think my king and general serves me. That he does our job. That he's the doorkeeper of his own house. So that we can enter in and enjoy the party. He serves us in humility. Because we lack humility. He says to us, you're too proud to choose a lowly place. So, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into the low place that you should have chose. I'm going to go to the lowest possible place there is. So that you may sit at a more honorable place in my kingdom. He says, I am going to be lowered into the grave of mortality, into death, that you may be raised to immortal life. He says, in your sin, you only want to ever choose what's good for moi, yourself. But therein lies the risk of being shamed. And I don't want you to be shamed, so I'll be shamed. I will be spat upon, and I will be whipped. I will be mocked and I will be ridiculed. They will wag their fingers at me and tease me while I die. So that you will have what is good for you. I will do this for all of you. That you may receive true forgiveness. Salvation. He says, because I've taught you how to be honored. I've laid it out for you in the good book, but you've forgotten it or you've overlooked it or ignored it. Just like the Pharisees, I'm going to keep all of Scripture for you perfectly so that you may truly be honored and inherit the kingdom of heaven and enter my house. He says all of this upon the cross when he says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They think they are taking the places of honor, but I'm giving them the places of honor. There, Jesus himself is the doorkeeper. There, he calls us friend. Did you hear that? He says, friend, move up higher. Come up here. Silly, sitting in the low place. Get your butt up here. Up to the place of life unending. To the communion rail. Where you receive a foretaste of the feast to come. The wedding feast of the Lamb. And that feast will have no end. The resurrected life of the baptized who believe Jesus was humble in their place. On their behalf. Those who choose the lowly place of humility as their Christ did. Knowing that the beginning of faith, the beginning of believing in Jesus, is seeing that without the help of our general, we'll never move the log of death. He must do it for us. And indeed he has. Indeed he has. Christ Jesus has died so that you, my friend, would move up higher so that you would live. It is true, and so we say, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.